This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.immc.org, for February 14th through 20th, 2009. Egyptian mediated truce efforts for ceasefire deal between Israel and the Palestinians come to a deadlock this week as Israel continues its attacks on Gaza. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent activities in the West Bank with IMEMC's Ghassan Bannoura.
This is the sound of Iyad Burnat, the head of the local committee against the wall and settlement construction in Bil'in village near the central West Bank city of Ramallah. He and the residents of Bil'in were conducting their weekly protest to mark the fourth anniversary of the struggle against the building of the wall and settlements on the land owned by them. Iyad Burnat talked about the village's continued protests.
We felt injustice as the occupation started to steal our land for the settlements, so we formed a popular committee, and since then we have had a weekly protest as a form of non-violent resistance to the construction of the wall. Through this, we were able to deliver a message to the world that this wall exists to steal our lands and not for security reasons, as Israel says.
The appointed Palestinian Prime Minister, Mr. Salam Fayyad, and other Palestinian MBs visited the village of Bil'in and joined the Friday prayers in the village. This visit was timed in solidarity with the residents on their fourth anniversary, marking the popular struggle against the wall. Dr. Mustafa Al-Barghouthi, a Palestinian MB, joined the Friday protest.
Bil'in provided a model. The model is specific. It's about being creative. It's about solidarity of internationals with the people of Bil'in and their participation in every demonstration. But above all, it's about consistency and continuity. That nobody gave up. Not a single Friday was missed. That means the model is working and it will spread all over the occupied territories.
As the case each week, international and Israeli peace activists joined the protest in solidarity. Also, a member of the popular committee against the wall in Na'lin joined the protest. Salah Al-Khawaja from Na'lin, Committee Against the Wall and Settlement Construction, says Bil'in was the model for their weekly protest, which started over a year ago.
Bil'in's struggle succeeded because of the creativity, continuity and self-dependent work we in Na'lin and Al-Masara villages and other places learned from that and have based our struggle upon it.
An Israeli army unit was stationed behind the wall and prevented the crowd from going through the gate by firing tear gas canisters, causing dozens to suffer gas inhalation. Five were injured by rubber-coated steel bullets. Jonathan Pollock, an Israeli activist who come to Bil'in weekly, said it is his duty as an Israeli to come and help the Palestinian farmers to protect their land.
As an Israeli, it is my duty to be here. What is being done here is being done in my name. And if I don't come here and actively resist it, I'm part of it anyway. But if I don't come here and resist it, that's the minimum requirement of Israelis to come here and actively stand with the people against what the Israeli government is doing to them.
In September 2007, the villagers' continued protest and legal proceedings managed to get the Israeli Supreme Court of Justice to order the construction work at the annexation wall at Bil'in to a halt. The court ruled for a rerouting of the wall section built on Bil'in's land. Due to the ruling, the villagers got back 275 acres of the 600 acres the wall was planned to take over. As the protest ended, people near Iyad Burnat's home and his friends danced Dabka, the local folk dance for Palestinians, and promised more protests to come. In the village of Na'lin on Friday, villagers held their weekly protest against the illegal Israeli wall being built on the village's land. At noon, the Palestinians and other international and Israeli demonstrators held Friday prayers near the village's land. They then proceeded to march to the area being confiscated by Israel. Demonstrators carried banners calling for national unity and demanded an end to the Israeli occupation. As soon as locals and their international supporters arrived at the area where Israel is building the wall, soldiers showered them with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. Four were treated for gas inhalation. For IMEMC.org, this is Ghassan Badnoura.
Egyptian-mediated truce efforts for a ceasefire deal between Israel and the Palestinians comes to a deadlock this week after Israel placed new conditions for such a ceasefire. IMEMC's James Orwell reports.
This week, the Israeli cabinet decided that Israel will not enter any truce deal with the Gaza-based factions unless Hamas releases a captured Israeli soldier. Israel wanted the release in return for reopening Gaza crossings, while Hamas insists that the issue of soldier Gilad Shalit is a separate one. The cabinet's decision constituted a deadlock in the Egyptian-mediated ceasefire talks, in which Hamas has been involved for the past 2 weeks that followed the Israeli war on Gaza. Khalil Abu Leila is a spokesman for Hamas in Gaza.
At any rate, the Palestinians have a sole option, defending themselves, and if the Zionists attempt to re-attack, they will find a high-level readiness by Palestinian resistance factions to defend their Palestinian people and themselves.
In June 2006, Hamas captured soldier Shalit in a cross-border attack in southern Gaza and has since demanded the release of at least 1,000 Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails. So far, the Egyptian-mediated prisoner swap deal has failed as Israel has refused Hamas's list of would-be released prisoners. Meanwhile, Egyptian officials declared that a Palestinian National Unity Talks conference that was slated for the 22nd of February has been postponed due to the lack of a ceasefire. At the Israeli level, Israeli President Shimon Peres is set to call the recent Israeli election winners for forming a new government. Israeli media reports estimate that Peres will call on the Likud party of Benjamin Netanyahu to form the new coalition. In the meantime, this weekend, outgoing Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert will be subjected to one more police probe for corruption charges. For IMEMC.org, this is James Orwell.
The Israeli army continued its aerial bombardment of the Gaza Strip this week. At least three people were reported killed in the Strip this week. From Gaza, IMEMC's Rami Al-Mighari has the details.
A mysterious blast ripped through the north in Gaza Strip town of Beit Lahia, leaving one dead and four others injured Monday at dawn, according to Palestinian medical sources. Sources at the Kamal Adwan Hospital confirmed that Rajab Sobeh, aged 25, was killed and four others injured in the blast, too critically. Meanwhile, Palestinian medics announced that Ali Al-Qidra, a Palestinian resident from Khan Yunis, died of wounds he sustained last Friday after Israeli warplanes targeted the city. The Popular Resistance Committee mourned the dead as he was one of its fighters. Al-Qidra was hit while driving his motorcycle. This week, the Palestinian Ministry of Health issued calls for people with negative blood types, Rh, to donate blood in the local hospitals in Gaza. The ministry said that the blood bank has run out of the all negative blood types, Rh, due to the Israeli constant attacks and continued siege. Last month, Israel ended a 22-day long offensive, which left 1,300 killed and more than 5,500 injured. Early Wednesday, Israeli warplanes attacked the Gaza-Egypt border line in southern Gaza and shelled a Palestinian post in the nearby town of Khan Yunis. Medical sources reported no injuries. An elderly woman was pronounced dead due to heart attack, apparently due to severe bombings on the Gaza-Egypt border line, where Israeli warplanes have shelled all week long. Medics also reported that a Palestinian farmer from the Farahin neighborhood on the southeastern Israel-Gaza border line was wounded by Israeli gunfire whilst working. Meanwhile, Israeli media sources reported that a homemade shell fired from Gaza landed in an open area in southern Israel with no casualties reported. Hours after the Israeli cabinet declined to enter a truce with Gaza-based resistance factions, Israeli tanks rolled into eastern Gaza City and opened heavy random fire on Palestinian residents in southern Rafah City. The Al-Qassam Brigade, an armed wing of the ruling Hamas party in Gaza, said in a statement emailed to media outlets that Al-Qassam fighters defended against Israeli tank advancement into the eastern parts of Gaza City. No casualties were reported. On Thursday morning, Israeli tanks opened heavy random fire on Palestinian residences in Rafah City in the southern Gaza Strip. Witnesses said that the tanks stationed near the Kerem Shalom crossing opened fire abruptly in the area. No casualties were reported. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mithari in Gaza.
During the week, the Israeli military conducted at least 43 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During those attacks, troops kidnapped 82 Palestinian civilians. This and more by IMEMC's Jessica Husley in the West Bank.
This week, the Israeli army invasions were focused in the West Bank cities of Ramallah, Bethlehem, and Hebron. Among the 82 kidnapped this week, there were 17 children. The Israeli army withdrew from Jayus village near the northern West Bank city of Qalqilya on Wednesday evening after conducting a morning invasion. By sunset, at least 50 youth from the village were kidnapped and were moved to Hawara military camp near Nablus. In Hebron, Israeli troops stormed offices of the Al Yamama radio this week and damaged some of the contents. In addition, one Palestinian man was injured during an Israeli military home search campaign in the city of Hebron on Thursday. Also in the West Bank, Palestinian security sources reported that a group of armed Israeli settlers stole a car owned by a Palestinian man and set it on fire near the city of Jenin on Wednesday evening. The armed settlers installed a roadblock just outside Jenin, stopping a Palestinian man driving his taxi at gunpoint before taking over the car. The man told Palestinian security that settlers took his car to a nearby farm and set fire to it. In addition, this week, the Israeli army ordered a closure of Bayarek Charity in Tulkarm, which provides support to at least 1,450 orphans. Last Saturday, a Palestinian resident of the Beit Hanina neighborhood in East Jerusalem had to demolish his own home that he built 10 years ago after he was unable to pay a high fine imposed on him by the Jerusalem municipality. The Jerusalem municipality said that the home was built without a construction permit and imposed a 130,000 shekel fine. Al-Shaludi decided to ask the court to allow him to rent bulldozers to demolish his own home in order to avoid the high cost of the Jerusalem municipality bulldozers and a 60-day imprisonment. The municipality agreed and gave him 40 days to remove the rubble at his own expense, or else he would have to pay a 14,000 shekel fine. For IMEMC.org, this is Jessica Halsey.
And that was just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, please check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This week's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and Ghassan Bannoura.